Daf Chafeh Menal, the Gemara had said that if a person is a gambler, so, well, first we said that if the person, a person was motzi treifos mitachas yado, a person was found to have been selling treifos, so how do we ever make him kosher le'edos again? There's got to be a way that he could become kosher again. So the Gemara says he's got to go and ozel Rabbi Mazi v'tufrei. First, what happened was this man went and he grew his hair and his fingernails. So Rav Nachman said, oh, sounds like he's contrite and that he wants to do tshuva. Rav said, that's ridiculous. Anyone grow their fingernails and hair? Let's see some real proof that he did tshuva. So the Gemara says, what does he have to do? My takan take it to Ravid Barav and Ravid Barav and Choshel Treifos Ein Latakanat Sheilich L'Makom Shei Makirno. So he's got to go to a place where no one recognizes him and then be willing to lose money on a treifa. If he's willing to lose money on a treifa when he's machzer aveda, which shows that he's not money grubbing, so then we can assume that his chemdas hamamon, his desire for money, has abated a little bit, and therefore that's considered a valid tshuva, and he's now going to be a kosher aid again. Remember, again, there are different types of pasul witnesses. Some types of pasul aidim are psulim mishum rishus. They're pasul because they are avaryanim, they're terrible rishaim. Some types of aidim are pasul mishum kurva, not rishus, just stam. They have a psul. The Torah is exeris hakasav that people who are krovim, they didn't do anything wrong, but they're just psul. And then there's a type of psul where it's not exactly rishus. It's not that they've done the most severe sins. It's just that we know we can't trust them because they'll do anything for money. People who are known to compromise their principles for money. That's what we're going to discuss. What about Mumar Ochel Nevelis Lahachis versus Mumar Ochel Nevelis L'Teyavon? The Gemara is going to discuss on Chavav, Chav Zayin. We're going to get into that discussion about Mumar Ochel Nevelis L'Teyavon. A person, why does he like to eat Nevelis? Because it's cheaper. He's not trying to get angry at God or anything like that. It's cheaper. So such a person, we know, compromises his religious principles for money. A person who compromises his religious principles for money cannot be an aid. That's what I think the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Chav Zayin that Mumar Ochel Nevelos L'Teyavon, Devar Kol Pasul. Everyone holds Mumar Ochel Nevelos L'Teyavon. If a guy eats Nevelos because it saves him money, it's cheaper, so that everyone would hold his pasul. If you compromise your principles for money, of course you pasul le'edos. Machlokas, Rav and Abaye, if you're Ochel Nevelos L'Hachis. Person eats nevelos lahachas. That's a machlokas. Abaye says pasul, Rava says kosher. Good. So that's the machlokas. But l'teyavon for sure is pasul. So that's the way this guy does tshuva, is by showing that he doesn't, since his psul was one of not rishus nor kurva, but his psul was one of compromising principles for money, which is a type of rishus, but it's not to the level that rishus would normally passel you. Normally, rishus only passels you if you're such a rasha that you do averus for which you have malchus. Over here, you're not doing that kind of rishus, but it's just because of a money issue. So then, the way to do tshuva is by showing that you're not so interested in money anymore. So this got me thinking about the idea of tshuva in Beis Din. We never really find tshuva working in Beis Din. So why over here all of a sudden do we find that tshuva works in Beis Din? And really you could ask it as an entirely different question. Why in general does tshuva not work in Beis Din? Meaning, if you would have asked any of us before we learned this Gemara, why is it that when a guy comes into Beis Din, and we've discussed this case before, a man comes into Beis Din and they say, hey, we saw you Reuven, we saw you kill Shimon, and Reuven says, no, you saw the man I used to be 4 minutes ago when I pulled the trigger kill Shimon, but I have since done tshuva, and I'm a totally different man now, and therefore I should be pater. So we all know the halacha is, sorry, that doesn't work. You could find God in those 4 minutes, it doesn't work. You're not going to, tshuva is not going to work. So, but if I were to ask any of you before we learned this Gemara, why doesn't the tshuva work? Why don't we accept that? Why doesn't the tshuva work? So most of us probably would have said, why doesn't the tshuva work? Because I don't know if he really did tshuva. He's saying he did tshuva. It's like growing your fingernails long and growing your hair long. Do we ever know if somebody really did tshuva? This Gemara is sort of saying there are ways to know if a person did tshuva. Like there are certain circumstances where you actually can know that a person did tshuva. Granted, for murder it may be a little harder. But in general, if a guy is about to be chayiv, say a guy is about to be chayiv for something in Beis Din, and we can show that, I'll give you an example. What's tshuva shlema according to the Rambam? What's the fullest form of tshuva? What's the greatest tshuva? Not just never do it again, but the Rambam gets even more graphic in his description of never do it again. The Rambam says the same. What? Well, that's the process of tshuva, right? But how do I know that I've achieved tshuva shlema? That I've accomplished the fullest tshuva? So the Rambam describes, let's say a man has tremendous passion for a certain woman, and he sleeps with that woman, and then he does tshuva. And then while he's still young and vigorous and he's omid ba'ahavaso, he still loves her as much, he still has that same passion for her, and he still, whatever, he says all the same yetzaharas and all the same taivas and everything else, and he's alone with her again, and this time he doesn't do the avera. That's tshuva gemura, the Rambam says. That's complete tshuva. So is tshuva quantifiable? Yeah. A guy is, we're about to kill a guy because he slept with an Eishes Ish. Why can't the guy say, no, I did tshuva? What do you mean you did tshuva? I was with her again since then. In the same position. In the same, with the same opportunities. And I still loved her. And I didn't do anything. Tshuva. Don't tell me I didn't do tshuva. I've just proven to you I've done tshuva. It's how the Rambam defines tshuva. So why doesn't it work in Beis Din? It's not just that we can't ever know. There are cases we can know. Over here we do know. You can't just tell me we can't ever know. Besides, you know, some might say, but come on, tshuva, I mean, you know, well, what does it really do? You got to be punished for your avera. What do you mean, tshuva? You know, tshuva is a very, very, very valuable concept in halacha. The power of tshuva is very well documented. Just to go through a couple of quick marmakomos about the power of tshuva. Famous story in Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, source number 5 in your packets. Amar Lav al Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. You know the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, right? Shalom hiniach zona achas b'olam shalom b'ala. There wasn't a single zona that he didn't sleep with in the whole world. Pam achas shamashi zona achas b'krocha yam v'esun tals kisti narim b'schara. He once heard of the most expensive high-end zona in the entire world. So, not al kisti narim v'halaf v'avrala shivin naharas. So he traveled over all seven seas in order to be able to find this woman with a boatload of money, with a bag full of money for her payment, because she was very expensive. Bishas hergel davar hificha, very strange. At the time that they were about to be intimate, she passed gas. Amra, and she said, Keshem sheficha zu eino chazeres lumakoma, just like the gas that was passed out of my body will never come back, so too Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya can never do tshuva. And he found that so inspiring. Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim gvaos. So he went in between two mountains and valleys. Amar harim gvaos bikshu alai rachamim. The mountains and the valleys, please ask rachamim for me. They said, we're busy enough with our own problems. It goes on and on and on until he finally realizes, a few lines from the bottom of there, Amar ein adavar talui ela bi, it's all up to me. Hiniach rosho ben birkav v'ga'a b'b'chiyat shiyatsa nishmaso, put his head between his knees, cried out until he died. Yatsa baskal v'yamra, so baskal came out and said, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya mezum l'chai olam haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya is going to go to olam haba. So bottom line, what do you see? HaKadosh Baruch Hu passing Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya doesn't have to pay for his sins, because he did tshuva. So sins go away. So we in Beis Din down here are going to decide that a person does have to pay for his sins after he does tshuva. Tshuva works. It's clear that tshuva works. It's beferish that tshuva works. The Rambam talks about the power of tshuva, what tshuva can do for a person. If you look in the Rambam in Parag Zayin, Halacha Vav Vilchus Tshuva, source number 7, Gedola Tshuva Shemekareves Es HaAdam L'Shechina. Tshuva is so great that it brings a person close to the Shechina. Shnemar Shuvi Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. V'nemar Lo Shavtam Adai Nu'um Hashem. V'nemar Im Toshuv Yisrael Nu'um Hashem Elai Toshuv. Kolomar, im tachsub tshuva bi sidvak. You want to do tshuva, connect to God. Hatshuva mekareves as haruchokim, it brings close those who are distant. Yesterday this person was disgusting, he was an abomination. V'hayom hu ahuv v'nechmad karov v'yedid. And today, he's beloved, he's precious, he's close, and he's a friend. V'chein atamotzei shabla, he's a beloved one. V'chein atamotzei shabalashna, Kodesh Baruch Hu marchik achotim ba mekarev v'sashavim ben yachad ben rabim. With the same lashon that Kodesh Baruch Hu keeps the sinners at bay or away from himself, he brings people who do tshuva close. Shemar v'yev makom hashem lehem lo ami atem yomar lehem v'ni kelchai v'nemar v'yichani b'rishaso kiswas isha zahariri gavar le'yitzach b'yamav imiya k'nayo ben yoyakim melech yudah chosim al yad yimini v'kivin sheshav v'glus v'nemar v'zrubav. Okay, whatever, fine. We find essentially that Kodesh Baruch Hu tries to draw people to do tshuva particularly close. We know the Gemara at the end of Yuma, v'makom she bali tshuva omdim, ein sadikim gemurim yicholim lamod. So the answer to our question is not going to be that tshuva doesn't work. Tshuva definitely works. It works in a huge way. It works in a way that even being a tzaddik doesn't work. So our question then has to become, why is it that we don't accept tshuva? Now, is there any Gemara that says explicitly that we don't accept tshuva? Meaning, we have our Gemara that we do accept tshuva, and our Gemara, Sanhedrin, we do accept the tshuva. The guy was pasuleidus, now he's going to be kashuleidus, as long as we can ascertain that the tshuva is a tshuva gemura. Do we have anywhere that we actually find that we don't accept tshuva? So if you look in source number one in the packet, the Gemara Makos, Tafid Gimlam Beis, so says Gemara, Rebbe Kiva Omer, Chayavei Krisos, Yeshno Bechlal Malkus Arbaim. People are Chayav Kares, can get Malkus instead. She'im asu tshuva, Beisdin shel mala mochlin lahem. If they do tshuva, Beisdin will be mochel them. Chayavi misos Beisdin, einu b'chal malkus arba'im, she'im asu tshuva, ein Beisdin shel mata mochlin lahem. But people who are chayiv misos Beisdin, getting Malkus doesn't help, because tshuva and Malkus will not change Beisdin's mind. So basically, what's the Gemara saying? Kares is carried out by who? Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kills a person by the time he's 60 years old. That's why you have a Gemara, I think it was Rav Yosef, when he turned 60, made a Yom HaTovah L'Rabbanan. He made a party, because he said, I'm not Chayiv Kares. Turned 60, obviously I wasn't Chayiv Kares. I was once, when I was an assistant rabbi in Shari Tefillah, Rabbi Berzon, not Rav Azariah Berzon, his oldest brother, I think, Rabbi Hananya Berzon. I think he's from Montreal or something. Was in shul. He was in Lawrence for some reason, and he came over to me and he's talking to me, and he said, I think at that time it was like 10 years ago, he was turning 60, and he asked me if there's any mucker to celebrate turning 60, to celebrate birthdays. So he said the only mucker he could find is for turning 60. It's dafka that you put from Karis. But any other birthday, we don't know of any real mucker to celebrate any other birthday. So I wrote an article on the topic. He inspired me, I think, at the time to write an article on the topic of birthdays. In halacha, do we ever find that a birthday makes a difference? Okay, not our conversation for now. But the only real Talmudic mucker of an amora making a party is turning 60, because you're off the hook from kares. Now the halacha is, if a person is chayav kares, the combination of malchus and tshuva gets him off of the kares, because Bezin Shalmala will allow the tshuva to work. Bezin Shalmala says, okay, you got your Malkus and tshuva together, gets you off of the kares. That's why, I think we've pointed out in the past, when they started up the smicha 500 years ago in Tzfat, so we said there's a Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Sanhedrin that says, how do you give smicha? How are they ever going to be able to build a Beis HaMikdash? We're going to want to build a Beis HaMikdash soon, right? But building a Beis HaMikdash comes before Tchiyas HaMeisim. In order to build a Beis HaMikdash, you need a Sanhedrin to paskin about every detail. The only way you can have a Sanhedrin is if you have people who have smicha. The only way to get smicha is by getting from someone who has smicha. We don't have anybody who has smicha. They're all dead. But Tchiyas HaMeisim can't happen until we have the Beis HaMikdash. So it's like this vicious cycle. So how do you get started? So the Rambam says, it must be that there's a way to get started. that if all the rabbis get together in the world and agree to give somebody smicha, they can give somebody smicha even though none of the rabbis have smicha. So the das of Klal Yisrael could begin smicha again. So 500 years ago, some rabbis got together in Tzfat and said, let's start it. They started smicha again. So a few people had smicha. Rav Yosef Kaira had smicha. The Alshech had smicha. A few different people had smicha. So at the time, there was a big controversy whether it was valid or not. The Rabbanim in Yerushalayim were not so happy about it. They were not consulted on the issue. And they felt that you need all the rabbis in the world, and even if the rabbis in Tzfat are greater than the rabbis in Yerushalayim, which they were, you still need to consult us. But why did they want smicha? What was the motivation to reinstitute smicha? Or if Yosef Kaira was so hungry for kavod, he needed smicha, Mari Beirav, or whoever was involved. I don't remember. Mari Beirav, I think, was the one that had it, or Maral Bach was against it, or maybe it was vice versa, I don't remember. They went back and forth about it. But what they needed the kavod so badly? No, what happened was, think 500 years ago, what was going on in history? 500 years ago, roughly 500 years ago, major event in Jewish history, about 519 years ago. 1492? Spanish Inquisition. So what happened to the Spanish Inquisition? What was going on in Spain at the time? Anybody? History? No? Queen's College, come on. What was going on in Spain at the time? Jews were not allowed to practice their religion openly. They had to pretend to be Christians. And they practiced religion privately. Right? Practiced Judaism privately. Many Jews who fled Spain and made their way to Eretz Yisrael felt that they had done things while they were in Spain to save their lives for which they deserved kares. And they were terrified of receiving kares. So what they did is they went to the rabbis and they said, well, a person is chayav kares, you can get away with malchus and tshuva. So give us malchus and we'll do the tshuva part. And we'll get off the kares. The rabbi said, we can't give malchus, we don't have smicha. So they said, so get smicha. So the rabbi said, okay. And they started up smicha. I don't know if they actually ever gave anybody malchus. I would imagine they did, because that was the whole point. But that's why they started smicha. Crazy, no? But that's this halacha, that if a person's chayiv kares, malchus and tshuva will do it for you. But your chayiv misin beizdin, malchus and tshuva does nothing for you. So you have a gemara explicit that malchus doesn't do anything for you in beizdin shalmata. Rashi over there says, shafilu yasa tshuva in beizdin shalmata, mochel no samisa. Beizdin shalmata will not be mochel anything. Okay, good. Fine. Tosos Maseches Yevamos Daf Chav Beis. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. Tosos Maseches Yevamos Daf Chav Beis. Yevam Maskel Shas Tshuva takes it for granted. Malchus Mishkachas to Mechayiv Afal Pisha Asa Tshuva. He takes for granted, of course. If you did something for which you're Chayiv Malchus, and then you do Tshuva, you know what Bezin says? We're giving you Malchus anyway. We don't care that you did Tshuva. So it is pretty well documented that Bezin Shalmata does not exempt someone from punishment when he does Tshuva. All we find that Bezin Shlomata does with tshuva is it will make someone who is pasul edus kashal edus again. But if someone is chayiv an onesh, Bezin Shlomata will not exempt them from the onesh when they do tshuva. Right? That's pretty clear cut. So possibility number one of why not would be that maybe tshuva doesn't really work. We already got rid of that. Right? Tshuva obviously works. Now, there is one other place where it sounds like tshuva works to get someone off of an onesh. You look at the Rambam, Nechzav al-Dazar, Parag Dalet Halacha Vav. Unbelievable Rambam. Source number 12. Rambam, Nechzav al-Dazar, The Nadav Yehuda I just had to put in there because it's about tshuva. You ever see that Nadav Yehuda? No, no. Anyone get? I don't know what you guys didn't say this morning. I wasn't upstairs at all. But Nadav Yehuda Madura Kama, I threw it in there just because he talks about the power of tshuva. That's the famous shaila of Nadav Yehuda Madura Kama Simin Lamed Hey. Remember when I was dating my wife? I went to Edison, New Jersey, to pick her up, and I was early, so I went to the shul because I didn't want to show up early. So I went to the shul to the Beis Medrash, and I pulled off a Nadav Yehuda from the shelf. I was just reading through random tshuvas of the Nadav Yehuda, and I came across that tshuva, and I was like, whoa, I'm never going to forget this one. Or Chaim Kama Simin Lamed Hey. Where the Shaila was, there was a boy who was learning in yeshiva, and he was a very, very big masmid, a big Talmud Chacham, and he was engaged to get married, but he was starting to feel very bad because while he was learning in yeshiva, he was staying by a person's house. They didn't have dormitories, so they put him up by people in the community. So he was staying by a person's house, and for several years he was a ben bayis by the person's house. And while he was ben bayis by the person's house, he had an ongoing affair with the woman of the house, with the woman who's the hostess, who was hosting him for all those years. He was sleeping with her constantly as he was going mailam, mailam, b'mailam satorah v'yir, etc. As he was growing in his learning and everything else. At nights, he was by day yeshiva bacher, at night an adulterer. So he felt bad because the husband had no idea about it. He had never told the husband about it. And the husband's really usher to his wife. The husband's not allowed to be with his wife because if a woman cheats on her husband, she's not allowed to, she's not allowed to sleep with her husband's not allowed to sleep with her anymore. They have to get divorced. So he felt bad. The husband's violating an isser every single time. So he didn't know what to do. When you were my shir, I think we did this shiva, right? In brachos. Yeah, so he didn't know what to do. So he didn't know if he should tell the husband. And it was a particularly sticky situation because his kala was their daughter. He was engaged to the couple's daughter. So he really... And plus he said, so he said to Nadav Yehuda two things, two shailas. Shaila number one is, what the heck am I supposed to do? Do I tell him, do I not tell him? On the one hand, very interesting svar, he says, on the one hand, I should have to tell him because he's violating this in Darais every time he sleeps with his wife. On the other hand, Kavar Abrios is docha los ha-seisha b'torah. Kavar Abrios is docha even isurim in the Torah. And what kind of Kavar Abrios is it going to be for me if I have to humiliate myself like that? And admit that I slept with the guy's wife, and it's going to be such an embarrassment for the family. Also, it's a mishpacha chashuva; it's a very chashuva family. Sometimes the most chashuva families have the biggest skeletons. So it's such a chashuva family. Such it's going to be such a bizayin for them. Maybe kavodah brios should be the consideration. That's why we did it when we did brachas, because in brachas you have the whole sugya of kavodah brios. So that was one shaila he asked him. The second shaila he asked him is, how on earth do I do tshuva for this avera? Like, what do I do? Like, how many fasts? Do I have people whip me? Like, what do I do? What do I do to do tshuva? So the Nadav Yehuda goes through a lengthy description of the power of tshuva and what real tshuva is. And, and Nadav Yehuda discourages tshuvas hamishkal. Tshuvas hamishkal involves a certain amount of whippings and humiliating yourself for each type of avera. Tshuvas HaMishkal, you're not going to survive, buddy. He's like, you try Tshuvas HaMishkal, it's not going to... But the guy was saying, when I do tshuva, please go easy on me because I'm a tremendous masmin. I'm learning Torah, Yom and Valayla, and it could really hurt my learning if you make the tshuva too hard, if I have to take too much whipping and too much whatever, rolling around in the mud with the pigs or whatever it is, whatever the Tshuvas HaMishkal would require. Very, very fascinating. Both parts of the tshuva are fascinating. The lamdus in Kavodah Brios is fascinating. When you learn brachos, you learn Kavodah Brios sugya, to must see Nadav Yehuda. Machlokes Rambam Rush, two Gersos in the Gemara, unbelievable lamdus. And the beauty of the Nadav Yehuda's explanation of how tshuva works is also phenomenal. I just came across yesterday. There's a sefer by Rav Rabinovich. I forgot his first name. You ever hear of Rav Rabinovich? I think Kiryat Arba. He's Rosh Shiva in Kiryat Arba, maybe. Anyone ever hear of him? He has a PhD in math, I think. I think he's American-born, Canadian-born or something. He was a Rav in Canada for a while. He's a phenomenal Talmud Chacham. So he wrote a Tshuva Sefer. He's finishing writing a Parish on the Rambam, an original Parish on the Rambam. Like, Kesav Mishnah, Magen Mishnah type of Parish, which hasn't been done in hundreds of years. For someone to actually write, line after line of Rambam, Parish on the Rambam like that, very, very unique contribution to Judaism. Anyway, so the Perush on the Rambam is not so much my style, but the tshuvas he has very interesting tshuvas. So I'm just mentioning this once. I'm mentioning the Yehuda. It's a little off topic, but someone asked him, also fascinating shaila. Psychologists asked him that they were doing therapy with a person, and in the therapy they were seeing a woman in therapy, and the woman confessed to the psychologist that she had stopped going to the mikveh, and that she doesn't keep kosher anymore, so she doesn't cook kosher anymore, and she just never told her husband. So husband's a frum guy, you know. She comes back, she goes, takes a shower or something, and tells her husband, "I just came back from the mikveh." She never went to the mikveh. Husband sleeps with her. She's still nida, chayv kares. Husband eats dinner every day. She makes him dinner. It's nevel satrefus. She's shopping. She's buying her meat at the A&P. Psychologist says, "What do I do? Do I have to tell the husband?" So he said, "I already tried to convince her to tell the husband. She doesn't want to hear of it. I tried to convince her to stop. She doesn't want to hear of it. Do I have to tell the husband?" Yeah.
Is there no concept of shogi by karis?
Okay. So what if you do something that you chayv karis? It's still navera when you chayv karis shogi. Would you still get karis? Chavei krisus shogigit. Maybe you don't get karis. I don't know. Maybe you don't get karis, but it's still nisr, right? So she's chayv karis for sure, right? So because that's for her to sleep with the most. So the so what do I do? The psychologist says, "No, no brainer. Of course you tell, right?" But he says, "Think about the ramifications of that. If anyone who's seeing a frum psychologist would know that the frum psychologist is going to tell whenever you are violating this that affects other people." And these types of people will not see from psychologists. And then what's going to be? You know, the ramifications could be much, much worse. And all these people are just going to go off and they'll have no one, you know, to lead them back. They'll have no one to guide them back. Not only that, he could lose his license. Right? He has, to what extent do I have to take a hit, you know, to save someone else from an avera? I'm going to lose my license. I'm not going to be able to practice, you know, to be practicing psychologist anymore. So why do I mention this? Similar shaila, no? Because the man, this guy in the tshuva, the Nadbi Yehuda, wanted to know, do I have to tell? This man is sleeping with his wife and he's in violation. Do I have to tell? Can I keep it to myself? Right, could I let him violate the Yisr B'Shoge? So Rav Rabinovich had an interesting thing. He said, "I'm not sure you're allowed to tell, halachically." He said, "Because what will happen if you tell? Let's say someone comes over to a stan. Someone walks over to a married man in the street and says, 'Oh, by the way, your wife doesn't go to mikveh.' What's the appropriate reaction from that man?"
Yes, she does.
What if two Edom come to a basin and say that this man's wife doesn't go to the mikveh? Okay, now you got to take it seriously. Two Edom, that's the greatest level of proof in the Torah. But one guy says, "I know your wife doesn't go to the mikveh." What do we call that guy who says that? A Rasha, a Baal Lashon Hara. He's just saying Lashon Hara. I'm not allowed to be Mekabel Lashon Hara. That's Stam Lashon Hara. It's a Gemara Pesachim like that. Gemara Pesachim, Kuf Yud Gimel, discusses in Yanim of Lashon Hara. So the Gemara Pesachim says that if you know that someone ate Nevela or something, you know that someone did a Nevera, and you're the only witness, you're not allowed to go to Bezin and say that testimony. It's Lashon Hara to say the testimony. But you saw it. You know what happened. You saw it with your own eyes. No one's allowed to believe you. So it's Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to go say it. You know, you're not going to accomplish anything. So Rabinovich says, I don't know. If you tell this man, right, if you tell this man that his wife doesn't go to the mikveh, he might say, "You're about Lashon Hara. I don't believe you." So then what did you accomplish? You just lost your job. But what did you accomplish? You accomplished nothing. On the other hand, one could argue, no, what's a man going to do? If someone tells you, if a psychologist tells you, "Look, I'm seeing your wife, as you know, she's getting therapy." Female psychologist, you trust, from lady, you know her for a long time, you know. And she tells you that private conversation with your wife, she said your wife's not going to the mikveh. So what do you really do? Do you just say, ah, Balashnari, you're Russia? Is that really what you would do? Much more likely, next time your wife says she's going to the mikveh, you follow her. See if she does. Send someone to follow her. Investigate. Ask the mikveh lady, hey, have you seen my wife lately? Honey, which mikveh did you go to? I went to this one. Okay, call the mikveh lady. Is my wife there tonight? You know, you would investigate. And once you investigate, you may find out the truth. So it's just Stam Lashon Hara. Man, I found that very strange to say that it's just Stam Lashon Hara. He also had a svara that sometimes people who need therapy also lie, even to their psychologist. That they'll, you know, test them, see what kind of reaction I get out of them. You do have people like that, especially if they're seeing a from psychologist and they're rebelling a little bit against religion. They want to test the from psychologist, see if they're going to validate or judge me. And if the person judges me, then they fail. I'm never going to tell them anything. I'm going to go to a different psychologist or just, you know, not tell them anything. But if they validate, I understand why you do that, blah, 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 and they don't go and throw me under the bus, then I'll continue to talk to them. So you have that additional sphere as well. Very, very fascinating topic. But I'm not interested in the halachic side of the topic now. I mean, I am interested in the halachic side of the topic, but not for right now. But the other half of the Nodi B'Yehuda is just going through just what tshuva has the ability to do. He says, "Kitedar is a built." He tries to give this guy chizik, this low life of a yeshiva bacher that was, you know, sleeping with this woman. He tries to give him chizik. He says, "You should know, tshuva mechaperes kapar gemura." That tshuva is mechaper completely. You shouldn't think you're going to have any remnant of the sin left. It's all taken care of. Because Baruch Hu, if you do a real tshuva, there's nothing that's going to get in the way of tshuva. Fine. But there is one other place where we find that tshuva might work, and it's in the context of an onesh, not even in the context of just making someone who is pasulaydus kashulaydus. We're in the context of an onesh, tshuva might work. Take a look at that Rambam. Where are we up to? Rambam, source number 12. Says the Rambam, V'heich din Iran Nidachas. How does Iran Nidachas work? A city where most of its inhabitants have violated Avodah Zarah. Bizman shetia ru'uya liyasos Iran Nidachas. When a city seems like it's eligible to be an Iran Nidachas, it needs to be examined for being near in Dachas. Based in Agadol Sholchan Vidarshan Vichokrin Achiyedu Beraya Berura Shahud Chakali Iroruba. First step is find out if it's true. Someone comes to Based and says, I think there's a city, there's so much of a desire there might be near in Dachas. First thing Based has to do is investigate. Once they have proof that the entire city or the majority of it violates of a desire, Vichazla Vots Chavim. And they went back to their Avodah Zarah. Achkach sholchum lahem shnei talmidei chacham lahazhiram ulahachziram. Next step, unbelievable. It doesn't say this in the Gemara, by the way. Next step, what do? Send two talmidei chachamim to warn them that they better do tshuva and to inspire them to do tshuva. Im chazur vasu tshuva, mutav. And if they do tshuva at that point, fine. Then they're not near any dachas. What? Since when? A guy violates Avodah Zarah. Let's say not a city. A guy violates Avodah Zarah. We have Edim that he violated Avodah Zarah. First step of Beis Din. Give him a Musar Shmuz and see if he does tshuva. No way. We try him, and if he's guilty, you kill him. Musar Shmuz. Oh, I did tshuva. Okay, fine. Now we're off the hook. Now you can go on the speaking circuit and inspire young high school kids about how you've overcome your penchant for Avodah Zarah. What are you talking about? Why should you in Dachas have that opportunity? They do tshuva mutav. V'im yamdu ba'avlasan be'ezim mitzuvan l'kol Yisrael lalos alei l'tzava. But if they stay bad, then be'ezim tells all of Klal Yisrael to go wage a war with the city. Such graphic language, I don't know. Not just we kill them. Klal Yisrael wages a war with the city. Ad shetivkai ir, till the city is under siege. As soon as we take over the city, we set up batei din in every little corner of the city. And anytime you have two witnesses that a single guy violated avodah zara, okay, lock him up. Why lock him up? Why don't you just kill him right now? Why don't you just kill him right now? No. Tshuva's too late already. The city didn't do tshuva the first time. It's too late. Individuals never get to do tshuva. What's the difference between a guy who does avodah zarah and Nir Nidachas? It's a different chiv misa. It's a different misa for someone who doesn't have avodah zarah privately versus Nir Nidachas. We don't know how to kill him yet. We're going to have to count up. We're going to have to see if most of the city is found guilty. So we lock him up. Nimtzu kol avdei miuta soklin miuta. If it turns out that when we tally up all the people who we have evidence that have avodah zarah, that it's going to be a miut of the city, soklinosan, they get skila, mishari ir nitzel, but the city does not become an ir nidachas, the rest of the city is saved. Nimtzu ruba, but if it turns out to be the majority that did avodah zarah, that we have evidence, malinus on the bezin agadol, the gomer shamdinim v'horgin called elu sha'avdu, b'sayif. A, we have to go to the bezin agadol, because it's not a regular din v'fashos case anymore, now it's ir nidachas needs bezin agadol. And the misa that they get is sayif. Umakadis kol nefesh adam asher ba lefichariv taf anashim imud chakula. And if everyone did avodah zarah in the city, we wipe out the whole city. Vim nimsu ha'ovdim rubim, ruba. And if it's only a majority, but it's not everybody, makadis kol taf anashim shal ovdim lefichariv. The wives and the children of the people who did avodah zarah get killed. The others don't, but the wives and the children of the people who did avodah zarah get killed. Ubein shulcha kul, ben shulcha ruba, soklin es madicheha, umkapten kol shalal tokh rechova. Those who encourage them to do avodah zarah get skila, and mesis madiach, and we gather all the wealth of the city into the town square. Ein la rechov, osin la rechov. If there is no town square, we build one. Unbelievable. We build the town square, we build the central avenue, just so that we can have a place to bring all the money. Let's say the town square is a little bit outside of town, so you build a wall around the entire city that includes it, so now it feels like it's part of the city. They kill everyone, they kill everything. And they burn all the possessions. Fine. What's the troubling part of the Rambam? It's tshuva. First step is the ear as a city gets an opportunity to do tshuva. The other troubling part of the Rambam is where he got this whole process from. Where does he get this idea? He sent the whole thing. It doesn't appear in the Gemara anymore. Says the Ravid. Achar kach sholchum v'mshnei talmidei chacham lahazir osan lachziran v'mchazir v'asu tshuva mutav. Omer Avram, Zuck the Ravid. Tova Dover Shetova Lahem Tshuva. Ravid says, look, I'm the biggest fan of Tshuva in the world. I think it's great that Tshuva works. Avaloma Tzasi Tshuva Mela Sachar Asrava Maisa. But it doesn't. Meaning, where do we ever find anywhere that you were warned not to do an Avera? You did the Avera. And Tshuva is going to help you get out of Onesh. What does that ever happen? So this is the only other example we find. The only example in Shas, I think, that we find that tshuva works to get you out of an onesh. So basically, now what do we have? We have a Gemara in Makos that says tshuva does not work to get you out of Misas Pezdin, right? We have Tosin Yuma assumes for Dover Pasha, tshuva does not work to get you out of Malkos. We have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says tshuva does work to make you a kosher aid. And we have a Rambam that says that tshuva does work to get a city out of the punishment of being in the Ir Nidachas. The Ravid disagrees, but we have that Rambam. That's how it lines up so far. Zuck the Migdal Oz, commentary on the Rambam. Before that, Zuck the Kesef Mishnah, source number 13. Ravid's problem with the Rambam, right? How do you ever find Tshuva works? Says the Kesef Mishnah. Rav Yosef Kairo, we just did his introduction on Thursday. Not the Kesef Mishnah, his introduction to Beis Yosef. V'yesh Lomar. Shema shekasa Rabbeinu shesholchem lam shnei tzomim lecham lasiram eina hasra gemura. Me'ach sheinu lekal echad b'prat. That which we send to Tamil Chacham to be Mashiram is not real Hasra'a. What's he trying to say? So these people never got Hasra'a? I don't know. Because those two Tamil Chacham, Mashiram, just means to get them to do Tshuva. We're assuming they already got Hasra'a for the Avodah Zarah they did before. So I'm not sure what he's saying over there. When we call Makom Tzarachim, Minayin L'Rabbeinu Sheshalkum L'Mshnei Tamil Chacham Mashiram. But more fundamentally, he says, where did the Ram get this from? That you sent to the Midicham? It doesn't say it in the Gemara. The Ef Shashalamid Kain Rabbeinu Midamrin Parakoy Bot Genedim Zomin Lo Domalirin Dachas Viachalovit Chavim Shekin Elu Tzrich Nasra Vedim Zomin Ein Tzrich Nasra Shalf Pishen Nasra Gemur Kamash Ksav Mikal Makom Shem Hasra Ika. So he says, it could be the Gemara says that Edim Zomin don't get Hasra, but Anshi Yerni Dachas do get Hasra. So one could have understood the Gemara meaning that each of these people that did Avodah Zarah, they're going to be tried separately, right? So each of them must have gotten an individual Hasra before they did their Avodah Zarah. But the way the Rambam understood it is that Anshi Yerni Dachas doesn't just mean as individuals, when they did their Avera, they got Hasra. It means as an Ir Hanidachas, they got Hasra. There must be a Din of Hasra as an Ir Hanidachas. Migdalos takes care of the problem a little bit. How could the Rambam say Tshuva works? Migdalos says, Tov Sofer. It's a typo in the Rambam. Rambam never really said it. It's very strange, Migdalos. First of all, he says, okay, to answer the Ravitz Kasha, it's a typo. But he says, you know what? If it weren't a typo, I'd be happy with it. It makes sense to me that Tshuva should work. Why say it's a typo then? Just keep it, right? He says, because Vafilu haya tamani, vafilu haya. Even if this was the girs in the Rambam, tamani lama lo toil. Hare kaldav shavolam. Vaksiv shuvu barim shavim. Shuvu works for everything. Kadisa brashana biyuma biyushamid peya. So the Migdalos basically asked the kasha we've been asking all along. Shuva, we said, works. It made Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya tzaddik. It makes a person kasher le'edus. It b'makom shabali tshuva amdin tzaddik and gemurim amdin tshuva is the greatest thing, is the end all and be all. So this is why shouldn't Beis Din accept tshuva? No reason why it shouldn't work. But like we said, our problem is that we know that it doesn't work. Is a shailin piskei tshuva. We'll close with this, and tomorrow we'll discuss some of the answers. The Shailim Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva is not to be confused with Piskei Tshuvos, which is a contemporary sefer written, still being written and corrected. If you find errors in the Piskei Tshuvos, by the way, you can send letters to the author. He's very receptive and he'll fix it for the next edition. And not to be confused with Piskei Tshuva, with the Ches, which is the commentary on the bottom of Yerideya, with collection of various tshuvas. Piskei Tshuva is a separate little sefer, I think it was written in the 1800s, of various interesting shailas that came up. So he discusses, what about the following? Person sleeps with a married woman, let's say, and they have a child. What do we call that child? It wasn't his own wife that he slept with. A man sleeps with another man's wife, and they have a child? Mamzer. That child's a mamzer. Then the guy did tshuva for sleeping with the married woman. Gemara Numa says, when you do tshuva, your averos turn into mitzvahs. Should the child be unmamzered? He didn't do the avera anymore. It's a mitzvah now. The child is a mamzer as a result of the avera done. Strange question, no? What this, it's really a lamdish question, because one way one might want to answer the question where she tries to do is, maybe mamzerus is not an issue of avera, whether you did an avera or didn't do an avera. Mamzerus is a tipa, a piece of shichva zera from another man that makes a married woman pregnant. By definition, that combination creates mamzerus, which would be a huge chumra in halacha. That would mean that a married woman who is unable to conceive because her husband doesn't have the ability to have children would not be able to do artificial insemination. Because it's a metzius. The tipa of another man with the egg of this woman creates mamzerus. It's not a function of the avera, it's a function of the metzius. We're going to discuss that later in the Masechta, probably in the next semester. Major machlokas in the poskim had a view of that. But the Piskei Tshuva says, but if it's a function of the avera, well, now there's no avera here, because he did tshuva. And once you do tshuva, the avera goes away. Start kasha, no? But obviously we assume he is a mamzer still. if only it were so easy to be mitar mamzer. Alright, so Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll discuss three or four different approaches as to why it is that tshuva doesn't work to get someone off the hook of a punishment. And we'll try to explain that Rambam, why the Rambam does believe tshuva does work by the Ereni Dachas. That will be on tap for tomorrow.